Welcome everyone to Big News Wednesday. Little tech troubles here in the studio, but I am here now, John Arola. It's Big News Wednesday, and that means JR Jackson. JR, how's it going?
Biggest news of the day, the damage report starts late. Is this the watch list or is this the damage report? Because that's my MO for everything to screw up on my show before it starts. Just saying.
That's true. This was just, we had this little background monitor. It messed up. I don't know. Computers are complicated stuff. But anyway, we are here. And it is important that we're here because I don't want to oversell things, but is today maybe the best day of news all year?
No.
It might be. No?
No. We're getting there. I'm expecting better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look, I'm not saying that there aren't individual stories that are better, but the average story. Interesting. It's like, agree. You may have a standout main event at a pay-per-view, but like just a solid every match is good, you know?
That's anyway. True. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna keep our WWE talk to the breaks, I guess. Maybe we'll be able to talk about Backlash. Anyway, thank you everyone for being here because we do have a lot to talk about. We're gonna be talking about Donald Trump. Did you know he's a sexual predator? That's not me saying that. That's a court of law saying that. George Santos has now turned himself into the authorities, which is a sentence I've been waiting months and months to say. Tucker Carlson has made clear his next moves. And then there's just a lot more interesting news besides. We've got some AI news that is fascinating. DeSantis is like, it's the pettiest union busting I think I've seen in my life. And Matt Gaetz defends AOC from Fox News. There's some interesting stuff coming up. So what you're gonna wanna do is hit the like button and share the stream, not only so that people know we're around, but then you can send us a message and maybe get a blue ribbon gift card. I'm just saying there are opportunities aplenty. So with all that said, JR, are you ready to do this thing?
I'm ready. I mean, I've been waiting. The pre-math that you were doing, I think you went a little long is the problem. Or is it the after report?
The pre-port. We got the pre-port and the aftermath. Anyway, it's confusing. There's a guide online. Okay, you can use ChatGPT, it'll explain it. Okay, well, with that said, why don't we start this thing? For the first time ever, a former president has been found by a jury to be a sexual predator. It's Donald Trump. Found to have sexually abused advice columnist E. Jean Carroll in a New York City department store changing room 27 years ago. And we've got all the details for you. This is the first time, again, that a former president of the United States has been legally branded a sexual predator. Now, it is, though, a civil, not a criminal case. And so the only legal sanction Trump will face is financial. Now, technically, when you say that, what you mean is that he can't spend time behind bars. He can just pay a financial penalty. But it's also true in a larger political sense, in that it appears at this point that the only consequences he will really suffer from are financial and not, oh, I don't know, to his reputation, which is in the gutter anyway, and that's why they like him, to his chances of becoming a nominee. But we'll get to all that. But first, in explaining a finding of sexual abuse to the jury, here is how the judge explained it. It has two elements: that Trump subjected E. Jean Carroll to sexual contact without consent by use of force, which that sounds like the definition of rape to me, but I'm not a lawyer. And that it was for the purpose of sexual gratification. The jury deliberated for less than 3 hours. It did not find that Trump raped Carroll, but did find him liable for sexual abuse, which I'll leave it to the linguists and the philosophers to untie all of that, but one sounds like the other. Anyway, here is the penalty that he will suffer as a result of this. They decided that Ms. Carroll proved by preponderance of the evidence that Mr. Trump sexually abused her and that she was injured as a result of his conduct. The jury decided that $2 million would fairly and adequately compensate her for her injuries. The jury also decided that Mr. Trump should pay Ms. Carroll $20,000 in punitive damages, but that is just the beginning. They also found that Mr. Trump defamed Ms. Carroll and that she was injured as a result of his October 2022 True Social post about her. She'll be paid $1 million for damages unrelated to a reputation repair program, $1.7 million for a reputation repair program only. They also found that Mr. Trump, quote, acted maliciously out of hatred, ill will, spite, or wanton, reckless, or willful disregard of the rights of another. Which you could honestly define like literally any action he's taken in his life, but specifically here towards Ms. Carroll, and she should be paid $280,000 for that. So, look, I suppose with America being what it is, this is what they were able to get for E. Jean Carroll. This is what sort of cosmically they were able to get for the dozens of other women that have accused Trump of sexual harassment and sexual assault of a variety of different types. And let's keep it real, more likely many, many additional women who have not wanted to put themselves through, you know, the psychic ringer of talking about their experience, being attacked for the rest of their life, having their family members be doxxed and stalked and all of that. And so this is at least a recognition that has never been found against any other president or former president of what he did and why he did it. And so JR, with all that said, what do you think?
Well, as you said, I mean, you know, historic type of look here, but this has been talked about for years, and it's not just the E. Jean Carroll situation. It's, as we found out also, there's other women that were coming forward in the past about the sexual assault accusations they had towards him. And many of them were then saying, this is just one of those quick shots of at least seeing, yo, there's a jury that believed a woman. And isn't that depressing in this country that we had women who are claiming sexual assault on a very powerful person who end up running for president and winning, who then have to say, oh my God, my country, my judicial system that we've trusted and it says the best in the world actually acknowledged someone based off of how much evidence was placed in front of them. There's something, even if it's a liability case on civil suits and not the criminal side of it, but it's something. And it's depressing that now we have to be the ones to say, oh my God, can you believe we did such a thing? And the response being, oh, this is just something that's so political. Hey, it's only political because you decided to run for office after, again, according to this jury, you were found liable for these types of crimes. Yeah. So don't make anyone else, don't blame this on anyone else except for yourself, bro.
Yeah. And blame perhaps his legal strategy of not showing up, of just attacking her on social media, of attacking the physical appearance of the woman serving as her lawyer. He was gross. Like, maybe don't go around, you know, talking to Billy Bush about how you like to do this exact sort of sexual assault and how it's just awesome when you do it. Maybe don't do any of those things. That said, let's turn now to some of the reactions. Donald Trump was angry over the last 24 hours. I'm not exactly sure why, but we're gonna dive into his Truth Social post and try to figure it out. He started off with very unfair trial. Now, that could be referring to a lot of different trials. He's mad about many of them, and there are many of them to be mad about. But he goes on to say, what else can you expect? This is all gonna be all caps, by the way. What else can you expect from a Trump-hating, Clinton-appointed judge who went out of his way to make sure that the result was as negative as it could possibly be, speaking to and in control of a jury from an anti-Trump area, which is probably the worst place in the US for me to get a fair trial. Look, there could be something to that about the area being a little bit predisposed to not like Trump. I would say it's too late for him to learn from this experience, but for the rest of you, you might want to do your sexual assaulting in areas that are going to be more amenable to your particular brand of BS. Don't go sexually assaulting people in places that don't like you politically, I suppose. Anyway, he would have said that anywhere. He would have said that about any judge. That has nothing to do with anything. He's mad that he's suffering the consequences of the things that he has now been shown by a jury to have done. He goes on to say, and he's tweeted this multiple times, we'll read one. I have no idea who this woman who made a false and totally fabricated accusation is. Hopefully justice will be served on appeal. So he doesn't know who she is. He keeps saying that. Okay, I suppose. Look, if that makes you feel better, and it definitely will make his fans feel better, they will love the idea that they can just brush this aside. I mean, look, many of them, let's keep it real, it isn't that they just don't care that he committed a sexual assault. I don't think they would much care if literally anyone who wasn't a prominent Democrat did. But they will look for any excuse to pretend that he didn't actually do this. This is the best defense that he's come up with. I don't know that person. Why you would then refuse to defend yourself in court, why you would then reiterate that you think that casual sexual assault is acceptable if you're famous, why you would make that a part of your criminal defense. I have no idea. And so look, a lot of bad choices from Trump. It looks like the bad choices will continue though.
Really fast, John. I wonder if people are gonna realize this. This alert, former president of the United States, Donald Trump, is disputing the fairness of our legal system. He is indicting our judicial system, the greatest in the world. How absolutely un-American of this piece of garbage. How dare you indict the honest nature of our system. We have a jury of our peers. If you have it in a place, it doesn't matter where it is, because we're a fair and even-handed country. These types of folks who've always talked about how horrific and unfair our judicial system throughout our history must have been lying until right now, when this guy says there's a problem with it, when this guy says there's potential for biased judges and biased juries based off of where you are and who you know. But for every other regular folk, maybe it's part of a disenfranchised group who we assume right off the bat are guilty, and many have which have been convicted, imprisoned, put to death based off of very shoddy evidence. He had no problem with that before. He has a problem with it right now when the exact opposite has happened, when everything was adjudicated, when his ass didn't show up to the trial, when he's saying defamatory things about the person who's accused him of these things. But now it's unfair. It's pretty weird how that happens now.
It is ironic. I appreciate you pointing that out. In any event, he goes on, he's been on one, attacking the jury, attacking the judge, all of that.
He doesn't like it here. Maybe he should move somewhere else.
Yeah, or stop committing crimes, honestly. Like, you decided that you would like heap all of this on yourself. You could have left E. Jean Carroll alone. You could have not called, you know, the Secretary of State of Georgia. You could have not engaged in any way with Stormy Daniels. You could have not stolen these documents. None of these were necessary crimes. None of these made much sense at all, honestly, even from his own perverse point of view. He has decided repeatedly over decades to heap onto himself opportunities for people to find him legally liable for the things he's done. That's a choice that he has made. Now, that said, let's turn to another choice that he made, which is to have Joe Tacopina defend him in court. Here is Joe responding to what came out.
Yeah, this was a circus atmosphere, and having him be here would be more of a circus. And again, what I said in the summation yesterday, you know, reigns true, holds true. It's that, you know, what more could he say other than I didn't do it? And he said that under oath here. You know, it's hard to prove a negative, Molly. I could say you stole my pen, prove you didn't do it. How would you prove it? Say you didn't do it, right? I mean, it's sort of where we're at. So, you know, it's very simplistic to say, oh, he should have testified. He had nothing to say other than what he's already said on the oath.
Okay, so providing for Trump a few easy outs. Well, you know, you can't prove a negative. Well, okay, under Joe Tacopino's argument, you would almost never be able to prove whether an attack like this actually happened, which is a convenient standard to set forth when you are in the business of representing people who sexually assault other people. I understand why you might want to do that as Joe Tacopina. The issue is that while, yes, theoretically, it is difficult to prove one way or another, that is not actually what these trials are about. What they are trying to do is understand to the best extent that they can what actually happened, whatever evidence there is that it happened, including contemporaneous accounts wherein she had multiple people say that she told them at the time that this actually happened. Those are the sorts of things that play into whether a jury thinks that you are liable for it. There are other things too. For instance, were you to be on camera saying you sexually assault people, then they're probably going to use that in their judgment as well. You'll notice that Joe Tacopina does not talk about any of that. He says that he denied that he did it. What he didn't talk about was that he also said that he only sexually assaults, I guess, people who are attractive enough, and the lawyer isn't attractive enough for him to want to sexually assault her. These are all things that, look, we can talk about the back and forth. The jury also saw it though. That is going to inform their decision. And so the idea that Joe Tacopino is spreading here is obviously crafted to provide like PR cover for Donald Trump. It can't convince a jury, that's already been demonstrated. What he's trying to do is set the stage for his supporters to continue to give Trump legal defense money that he doesn't need, since supposedly he's a billionaire, so that they can appeal this thing. That's what I'm getting off this, JR.
Yeah, the whole point is to try and to change the way that folks are seeing or thinking about this. As we go through some of these responses and the way these politicians are talking about this whole thing, maybe part of what Tagapina is going through here is they're worried about, of course, the way people are seeing him now, or potentially may see him as we go into the political realms of this whole thing. So they want to get ahead of it. They actually kind of oddly kind of don't care about the result or maybe the money, maybe to a degree the money that he has to pay out now, but they're concerned about how people will now see him, which oddly, this is the way he's portrayed himself the entire time and it's been just fine so far. So maybe they're seeing there's some shifts in the way people are thinking outside of Marco Dumbass Rubio. Just want to point that out.
Let's go to one more video of Joe Tagapina.
It was strange. Part of me was obviously very happy that Donald Trump was not branded a rapist. I didn't think there should be any liability findings, so we'll pursue it. We'll pursue it, Adam.
Okay, so they're going to be appealing. But what you just saw there, the reason that I felt like it was necessary for us to show Joe Tagapina saying he wasn't branded a rapist is so that you can be ready to hear that from every right winger 1,000 times a day for the rest of time. Here's a little thought experiment for you. If this exact same thing had happened to Hunter Biden, would they be saying, well, you know, I don't like Hunter and I want to get Biden, but he wasn't branded a rapist. Come on. He was found to have used violence to non-consensually touch a woman. You can go into all of what Eugene Carroll said happened, including digital penetration, actual penile rape. I don't understand how that doesn't qualify as rape. Okay, that's what they came out with. For the purposes of sexual gratification, they believe that Joe Biden is a pedophile because they think that he sniffed a girl's hair. That is all the evidence that was required for them to label him a pedophile. But Donald Trump owing $5 million for the sexual assault they say he did, not a rapist. Like, think about the rhetorical like gap there that they want to pretend exists, but of course does not. But I've already seen it all over Twitter. That's what they're all saying. Every one of these people who believes that they believe that Hillary Clinton eats the faces of babies based on no evidence, think that Donald Trump is not a rapist because he was just found to have sexually assaulted, not raped Eugene Carroll. It's a very convenient defense there.
But no one's surprised is the sad part from these types of responses. No one's saying, I can't believe Republicans are coming this far and trying to twist themselves into knots to try and find a way to excuse him for this. No one is surprised by these responses and the way they've gone about this. And honestly, maybe they should start rethinking that because that's turning some people off. Whether or not they want to really open their eyes and see it or not, it is turning some people off, man.
Hope. Well, you know what? Why don't we check in with some of these people and see if any of this has turned them off? Let's jump right into some Republicans reacting to Donald Trump being officially labeled a sexual predator.
I hope the jury of the American people reached the same conclusion about Donald Trump. He just is not suited to be president of the United States.
Senator Risch, can I ask you about this news about Donald Trump being indicted, or excuse me, charged? If you're going to throw support behind a 2024 presidential candidate, does this verdict reached today have any impact on that decision?
It doesn't. I'm going to stay neutral.
I think it's a factor that gets to his electability. It's not a disqualifier to Manu's point at this point, but it's certainly not a check in the plus column.
So look, there was some differentiation between those. You had Kevin McCarthy just walking, his stupid smile. I got this position because of the support of a guy who's now been labeled a sexual predator. I'm not going to talk to you because I don't have to, because I know who my base is and the bar is buried in the center of the earth for these people. So we can do whatever we want. It doesn't matter how many laws we break. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars we owe to the victims of our criminal behavior. I just keep on going. That woman's like, no, it has nothing to do with anything. The guy at the end who was like, it goes to his electability, but it's not disqualifying. It's not, okay, well, thank you. Are you not merciful for pointing out that it might go to his electability? Mitt Romney seemed to have an issue with it. That other old guy who was doing Chuck Schumer cosplay, he just turned around and walked away. Every single one of those people, I have to imagine, who didn't care at all about this, they have deeply held religious beliefs. They are conservative Christians to their core. And finding out that this guy sexually assaulted a woman means nothing to them. Nothing at all. That is amazing, JR.
So all the they talk about suburban women and voters for Trump and moms for Trump and all this stuff. Just know this, all the moms for Trump, all the suburban women out there, if you've been assaulted, if you're in the position that E. Jean Carroll was in, which many women have been, way more than you may know, were in these types of positions, your elected representatives, at least those ones that didn't want to have anything to say about it, they don't care. If it happened to you, they don't care. Actually, they care as long as your anger about it can get them reelected. If maybe it's a Democrat, if maybe it's a scary person that they've told you to be afraid of that committed these crimes, then you can be upset about it because it'll get them right back in office. If it's Donald Trump or if it's anyone else, if it's a lower level politician that has some degree of power, they don't care. They don't care. They're saying that right then. Because again, like you said earlier, if anyone associated with any Democratic politician was involved in this, it would be, what is the party? This Democrat party is there full of groomers, rapists, sexual assaulters. And anytime these things have happened, when say it's a staff or any of these types of things with an elected Democratic official, they run the F out of town immediately. Yeah. So let's just wonder, do the people you're supporting, do they support you? This is what they're illustrating to you. That's why Kevin McCarthy walked off smirking, because anything he says is not going to help his career.
Yeah. And look, the reason that I pointed out the religious beliefs thing is not just to mock them for being utter hypocrites whatsoever. It's that very often we hear that people's deeply held religious beliefs are not just the source of their political, like the policies they want to see, but they are reason themselves that things should be allowed. I should be allowed to skirt federal discrimination laws because I'm not just a bigot, I'm a deeply held bigot. So then we get the right to point out that, oh wait, no, you're lying about all of that. You don't really believe any of this. It's totally contingent. Some are able to come out and just blanket attack him. Former Governor Hutchinson, running against Donald Trump notably, says, over the course of my 25 years of experience in the courtroom, I've seen firsthand how a cavalier and arrogant contempt for the rule of law can backfire. The jury verdict should be treated with seriousness, and is another example of the indefensible behavior of Donald Trump. That's a good statement. It's good. Mike Pence says in his time around Trump, he never heard or witnessed behavior of that nature. And it's not where the American people are focused. He's more religious than all of them. And like, okay, so maybe the guy sexually assaulted someone, but that's not where we're focused. Yeah, but you're a Christian. Shouldn't we be? Shouldn't you be using your position to point out that that's like kind of frowned upon in the Bible? Certain parts of the Bible, other parts of the Bible are like totally cool with it, by the way. Let's point that out. Anyway, John Cornyn says, I don't think it changes anybody's minds one way or the other. I think people who support President Trump support President Trump. People who don't support President Trump don't support him. And I don't think this will have any impact, which is arguably true, but also Jesus, he's your guy. Josh Hawley, by the way, he does say that he doesn't think that Trump will win in November. So I guess that's a point in John Cornyn's favor. Josh Hawley said that he still believes the ex-president will be the GOP presidential nominee and added that Trump being found liable for sexual abuse will make the general election, quote, interesting. Interesting. Well, that's one word. That's one word. By the way, we are not at the end of even just this case. There's going to be appeals and all that, let alone there's another E. Jean Carroll lawsuit against him and many other lawsuits. That said, there might be even more waiting in the wings. Take a look at what a former White House communications chief under Donald Trump had to say.
I have countless cases of what I considered impropriety in the White House that I brought to the chief of staff because I thought the way he engaged with women was dangerous. We know these facts, the patterns have laid out, and now this is something that's not just speculation, it's not just allegations, it is a jury of his peers deciding that he did this.
Wait, you brought to Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, or other chiefs of staff incidents that you witnessed of Donald Trump behaving inappropriately with women?
I did, as well as former White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham and others. Nothing that rises to this level, but things that I would consider improper and that I had a duty to report. And this is all out there. Voters need to pay attention, and folks in my own party need to stop making apologies for this man.
Is there anything more you can tell us about this?
If I'm able to, I will share more.
So that is Alyssa Farah Griffin, obviously former communications chief under Donald Trump in the White House, implying there at the end of that amazing bombshell statement that there could be more to come from this. This is obviously a reaction to Donald Trump and his E. Jean Carroll lawsuit. But let's also pause for just 1 second to point out that if this was a former Biden communications chief, this would be the single largest scandal of his entire presidency. And this is a ripple detail from Donald Trump's other scandals that maybe some people will pay attention to. Most will probably miss that she even made those allegations. Also roped in Mark Meadows, by the way. Mark Meadows knew apparently all of this. He received official reports from a senior staffer in the White House and evidently did nothing, just protected Donald Trump while he was engaging in all of this sexual misconduct. And will anything come of this? I don't know. There are just so many scandals, JR, that it's really hard to say, but I'm glad that she's at least speaking out now about it.
She's speaking out now about it, saying the same things that people were saying back in 2015 when he started running, when the tape came out of him, as you mentioned earlier, admitting to doing these types of things, which didn't do anything, which maybe that gives some credence to John Cornyn's point that, hey, people who support Trump are sexual assault supporters. That's what he's saying. Again, listen to what these politicians are saying. He says people who support Trump, people who don't, don't. This sexual assault liability decision made by this jury will mean nothing to the people that support him. So if you're one of those people that supports him through this, he's pointing out. So if some lib on MSNBC decides to say the same thing, you'd go, how dare these libs say this about us? You're calling us deplorables? John Cornyn just called you deplorable. Unless you think supporting a sexual assault, not rapist in this case, is not deplorable. Is that a deplorable action to do to someone? You have to start making decisions about which one you are and how you're gonna be. Because we call all those people that were saying these things in 2015 and 2016 Trump haters, never Trumpers. You just guys got Trump derangement syndrome. We threw all these labels on these folks. We've been saying it for years. And now that someone else that was in the White House after he won and was doing the same stuff, we have to protect your staffers. And by the way, Alyssa Farah is not the only one. There's another woman that was involved in the administration dealings, and she said she kept her staffer from him because of the same reason. So
was it Stephanie
you tell
Grisham?
Me, I think it was Grisham, yeah. Yeah, I think it was Grisham. They were talking about how they're keeping staffers from them because they know what he does. Is that comfortable? Is that someone you want to support? But they'll turn right around and stick their face on TV and say, yeah, I'll support him again. You sound like you're calling yourself a deplorable human being.
Yeah, by the way, can we also just point, again, we could go back and forth with this all day. We kind of are, actually. Do you remember what Donald Trump did when he debated Joe Biden? Do you remember who his guests were?
No.
Against Hillary Clinton, I apologize. Do you remember the guest that he brought to the debate against Hillary Clinton? Am I the only one old enough to remember?
I don't remember, no.
He brought multiple women who had made claims against Bill Clinton, implying that he was going to recognize women who were abused by a president while he was in the White House. And then he got into the White House and he apparently was so abusive that even Republicans were like, we gotta keep some of these staffers away from him because there's no way to control his behavior. He is going to abuse them. Anyway, that said, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, lots more to get through, don't go anywhere. Okay, we've got a lot more news to get to. Let's jump right into this.
I'll be doing CNN tonight live from the great state of New Hampshire because CNN is rightfully desperate to get those fantastic Trump ratings back. They were ratings like none other, and they want them back. They made me a deal I couldn't refuse. Could be the beginning of a new and vibrant CNN with no more fake news, or it could be a total disaster for all, including me. Let's see what happens.
What? Such a natural salesman. They're bringing me back just for the ratings. That's it. I've accepted that. And maybe good, maybe disaster, including for me. Tune in, everyone. Okay. Well, anyway, it is happening. The CNN town hall with Donald Trump is happening again. Notably, it is the live town hall, which means that I was going to say if, when Donald Trump, continues his election denialism, totally lies about the 2020 election, when he spreads transphobic and misogynistic and racist conspiracy theories, sprinkles in a little bit of anti-Semitism, that is all going to go out to the millions, well, it's CNN, close to millions of viewers live. So whether they do fact checking after the fact, whether Anderson Cooper checks something, they will be live spreading vicious misinformation that they have warned against for years. They've been talking about Trump as a threat to democracy for years, but as he rightly points out, he's going to give them ratings, so they're doing it anyway, JR. But look, honestly, the only reason that I wanted to make sure that we talked about this today isn't just, you know, maybe to do some predictions about how it'll go and how they'll fail. But now it's almost arguably justifiable only because they've got to ask him about the sexual assaults, right? Like, right?
This is now it's become a thing where they have, they're on the hook, as he said. This could be disastrous for them, me, or everyone. That's the one truth that he did tell there for the first time ever. Because, yo, if you do, then you're going to get the wrath of people saying, how dare they ask questions about what just happened and actually what has been determined by a jury? Or then it's going to be everyone else that says, well, they invite him on, he's running for president. It's pretty obvious that this is something people may want to know anything about what he's thinking or saying about this. Because again, we always worry about our politicians, maybe morals and whether or not they come into office with these types of luggage, this type of baggage that they got on their backs. But now everybody's got to figure a way to line up and make sure that they're on the right side of this, which going to be tricky. What I would love to see done, and it won't happen, because E. Jean Carroll has been on some television shows already right after this trial was over. Maybe she shows up to the town hall. Maybe CNN invites her to ask. I mean, imagine if she strolls up to the mic, if they have the situation where someone asks from a mic and she has like a cloak on her head and she throws it off.
No, she just like, he's answering questions, he's spreading BS. Her music hits, she runs out, chair to the back. It can be so exciting. They're not going to do that. So here's my fear. Look, it's Caitlin Collins, who previously worked at the Daily Caller. Anyway, look, I haven't followed her career. People say that she asked him some tough questions over the past few years. Okay, well, then I will bear that in mind and I will maintain hope that she'll be ready for him. And when I say that, I mean very specifically, he tells the same lies over and over and over again. There is no excuse to not have very specific responses to the exact same lies you know he's gonna tell. So I'll just say that. My fear though, is there are a million awesome timely questions that people could ask. But if we accept that they are just doing this for ratings and they need him more than he needs them, if he says, I'm gonna come on, but you can't ask me questions about A, B, C, D, and E, what are they gonna say? No, we're gonna ask you fair journalistic balance questions, blah, blah, blah. We're gonna do what we're supposed to do. Or are they gonna say, well, yes, sir. We really want you to be on our program, sir. We really want the ratings, sir. I feel like they're gonna give him whatever he wants at this point, but what do you think?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those things that we know how the restructuring is happening from the top with CNN. So they're trying to have this whole thing where they're finding themselves what they think is the middle as they lean further to the right. So this is a big, this is a big indication of that plan and able to bring in those viewers. Again, it's not just the Newsmaxes of the world that are looking for some of these viewers of Fox that are finding themselves upset about how they're still on the hard right, but they've been told that they're not. But CNN's probably doing the same thing. This is their big opportunity. How are they gonna play it? And that is my one worry. They might be playing it to try and get some of those viewers. Because we know this is definitely not about politics for CNN, at least from the top brass of it. It's about that money.
You know, I just realized, unless we are, and I wasn't asked, we'll find out. We should be doing that. We should be live responding to the claims. We got to gear up again for election season. I think that here at TYT, a lot of us are still like, we just ended the last election. Let's relax a little bit. But if they're not going to be providing an appropriate response, we should be doing it. Next,
like basically week, a little bit of fact checking.
Doing the live fact checking. That's what we should be doing. Well, next time. Anyway, with that said, we have big news regarding George Santos, if that's his real name. But we're gonna take our second break, come back. We're gonna get to George Santos and more after this. Said I had 2 seconds left. Sorry, what'd you say?
I'm going with Anastasia or something with an A. Alexandria, something. I don't know.
Not Anastasia, no. People are saying Jaina. I do like that. Some people are saying Jason. If it was a boy, Jace might be the name. I do like the name Jace. Anyway, with that said, we've got big news and no time. So let's jump directly into it.
Congressman George Santos has just been charged by federal prosecutors. Do you believe that he should be removed from Congress? Should he be allowed to continue to serve?
I'll look at the charges.
He'll look at the charges. He's not gonna just jump in as the speaker, as the leader of Republicans and lead the Republicans. Certainly not lead them into making clear that they don't accept criminal activities by their members. No, he's just gonna wait and see what happens with George Santos. We already know what has happened with George Santos from the time that he got elected throughout the last few years of his life. A whole lot of really sketchy stuff. But that's not going to have any effect on Kevin McCarthy at this point. So he found that news breaking that George Santos has been charged with 13 different crimes to be inconvenient. Comer in the House also, we'll get to the charges in one sec. Comer, one of the other House leaders, he was doing a press conference having to do with them changing the law on unemployment fraud. You know, because they want to talk about unemployment fraud because that's the poor people getting away with murder. That's something we can focus on. George Santos, one of the charges was for that. And they broke in with a question. And he's like, we'll allow the gears of justice to work. Anyway, it's just a great day when George Santos steps one bit closer to criminal consequences for what he's done. So let's go to those charges now. 7 counts of wire fraud related to a fraudulent political contribution, a solicitation scheme, and an unemployment insurance fraud scheme. 3 counts of money laundering related to a fraudulent political contribution solicitation scheme. 2 counts of making false statements to the House of Representatives. Just 2 for false statements? I have a feeling if you dig, you can find some more, but 1 count of theft of public funds. And so a lot of this has to do with political contributions. Basically, he was personally enriching himself off of the money that he raised. And think about how incompetent you need to be that you can find a way to violate campaign finance law. It is so permissive. They let you get away with almost anything. And this doink found a way to break the law and might suffer the consequences for that. He has already surrendered himself to authorities, by the way. He's expected to appear before a magistrate judge on Wednesday afternoon. So we'll probably be talking about it on the Young Turks, which I will be on the second hour with Anna Kasparian. But JR, it looks like they got him. That's a lot of charges. What do you think?
It's a lot of charges, and we're gonna find out how much more Kevin McCarthy can figure out about this entire situation. Because you know, when we were finding about the lies he was telling as he had his run up to getting into office, George Santos, that is, Kevin McCarthy wasn't necessarily clueless as to who George Santos was. He had his back, remember? Until there's some charges that come down, man, I'm not going to have anything bad to say. Well, charges have come down. Now he has to look into them. He hasn't looked into them at all. But somehow I get this weird notion that if there was charges against a Democrat, Kevin McCarthy would have read all about them, would have known everything was going on, and would have definitely been speaking about it. But he has nothing to say now. It's really odd how that's always the situation with these guys. But so as far as all these charges, he's been through all these things. We kind of saw this coming, but I don't know if it's to a degree for all these different things. But I think you mentioned Comer in his press conference. Steve Scalise also had a press conference, and he was promoting this bill that they had, H.R. 1163, Protecting Taxpayers and Victims of Unemployment Fraud Act. He was asked again about Santos as well during that, and he said, we're going to figure this out. We'll look into it. But what we're going to talk about is protecting people because we're trying to pass this bill. Odd news for this bill, John. I looked at a whole bunch of co-sponsors to this bill. There's this guy named Representative Santos, George, representative from New York 3, who's a co-sponsor on this bill that is titled Protecting Taxpayers and Victims of Unemployment Fraud Act. And Steve Scalise could not answer the question of, does this undermine the legitimacy of the way Republicans are talking about things like fraud? He didn't want to connect those two dots, but George Santos's name is on the bill. I think you guys have a problem with hypocrisy when it comes to these types of things. Just saying.
But does that not make him more of an expert? He knows the criminal mind because he has one. It's like the Suicide Squad. You have to hire a villain to take down a villain. That's the way I see it anyway. With that
good
said,
movie, by the way. Good movie.
Not bad, I guess. With that said, he is currently, surrendered to the authorities. They are booking him under one of his many names. I don't know. We'll find out more details as we go forward. But with that said, we have one more topic to jump into in our first hour. He's back, everyone. Take a look.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. Starting soon, we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We bring some other things too, which we'll tell you about. But for now, we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others.
Oh, God.
He's back, everyone. He took, it felt like 5 minutes off. I think it was about 2 weeks, though. But Tucker Carlson is going to be doing a show, and it is going to be streaming live, maybe. It's not really clear. But what is clear is that it will be on Twitter. And why not? Twitter is basically a Tucker Carlson fan. That's all it is in social media form. It loves his sort of misogyny, his racism, the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. That's what it's for these days. So that should be the home of Tucker Carlson. That said, there are many lingering questions coming out of that that video, the announcement video that kind of looks like a hostage video in a really fancy finished basement. Anyway, we don't know what type of content it's going to have. It looks like even that video probably violates the terms of his contract with Fox, saying you can't host a show on an alternate network. He was talking quite a bit about politics in that video. We don't know if it's going to be live or taped, what format it'll be in. Will it be an hour long show? How do they expect people to watch an hour long program on Twitter? We don't know if Mr. Musk is going to be paying for the production of the show or compensating him. We'll get to what he has said about the deal or lack thereof. But this also comes, by the way, the same day that Tucker Carlson accuses Fox of fraud and breaching his contract. This seems like projection. He's in the process of breaching the contract, so he accuses Fox of it. But anyway, the point of much of his video, which is 3 minutes long and ain't nobody got time for that, he says there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter, where we are now. We understand that Tucker Carlson, his entire stock and trade is lying to people. The idea that of all places, Twitter is the only remaining one that allows for free speech makes sense if you accept that free speech is when one of the wealthiest people around tells you whatever it takes to get you worked into a frenzy to allow the rich to continue to get away with economic murder. If that is how you define free speech, then sure, I guess Twitter is one of the few remaining places other than Fox News and Newsmax and OAN and CNN and MSNBC and basically everywhere else in the country. Jared, what do you think? We had a brief little break from him.
Yeah. Free speech is hate speech, apparently, for them. You know, there's no differentiation between this stuff. But, yeah, no, it's you know, this general broad term of what he's going to be doing on Twitter. Who knows? And I'm sure Elon Musk will be very excited about this because he's trying anything he can to attract any kind of extra money he can. I'm sure they'd probably charge some level for it. Maybe all the blue checks that are paying, maybe they'll be the ones that'll be charged for it as well. Who knows? But as they go through this whole thing, the whole point is to try and create some kind of buzz, which is, again, I think why it's so basic and everything. But I don't, again, these production values may not be so good because as we saw in that video, my man needs a ring light or something. I'm not sure how this Fox breach is going to hurt him. He's a multimillionaire. Maybe buy a $100 ring light. It's a little bit on the expensive side, but at least it'll work. It looks pretty bad. Just saying. But no, I think the whole idea is to try and generate. We know Elon purchased Twitter and then wants to do nothing but make money off of it. And the best way to do that is to attract the worst human beings possible, also the dumbest that are willing to be giving you their money for this. So I guess, good job. We'll see what happens.
Look, I guess Elon Musk wants to assure you, or more likely the remaining advertisers, that like, no, we're not like, we're not officially working with one of the most prominent white supremacists and anti-democratic activists in political media. He says, I want to make clear we have not signed a deal of any kind whatsoever. Tucker is subject to the same rules and rewards of all content creators. That is a very clear statement from Elon Musk. That also was determined to be a lie. I'm just saying, that's just from me. No, that's not true. Look, I'm sure that they haven't signed an actual contract. The idea that he is going to be held to the same exact rules as everyone else, no, he doesn't hold regular right-wing grifters the same rules as everyone else. Tucker Carlson will be able to do whatever Tucker Carlson wants to do. That doesn't mean it's going to be a success. It's a really weird place to broadcast a show, but that is at least what it's looking like at this point. That said, unfortunately, we are out of time in the first hour. Thank you everyone for joining us for this first hour. There's a lot more fun to come in the aftermath though, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thomas Sears says in a super chat, 2024 is the year of the fire dragon. Be prepared. Interesting. I don't know. What dragon are we in this year then? I need to know about now. Behooves says in a super chat, happy Big News Wednesday. John and JR, you both always brighten my hump day. Thank you. I appreciate that. For me, I don't remember alone. JR. Did we talk about which day you would do regularly, or did it just happen to be Wednesday? I don't remember.
No, we didn't choose Wednesday for any particular reason. No.
I don't think that we did, but I'm glad that it is Wednesday. I like that it's at the halfway point. Like I like that touchstone in the middle. Sort of.
Do
like
you always start super serious in the middle at the beginning of the week? Then I'm like the middle. Sometimes I'm middle. Then by the time you get to bread, it's just all wild.
Yeah. That's true. At the end, we try to balance it on Mondays. You know, we do want to give people a case of the political news Mondays, but yeah, it's hard to say. By the way, Kamuni says, okay, all, I don't know why we didn't see this before, but John's little dragon's name is obviously going to be Cecily Alexandria. No, I like both of those names, but no. Those would be two great inspirational figures for her, but no. Anyway, Jonah Morton says, isn't it a weird world where the worst people of the world self-identify as deplorable? What's next, the EVIL political party, Dr. Doom for Prez?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't like
they it. They demean people for wanting to save the environment, for being tree huggers, for actually caring about other human beings. They've already said it. That's a problem for them.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Frank Morning Tree over on Twitch gifted 10 subs. That is amazing and awesome, and thank you for that. But when you bear in mind that Frank Morning Tree has gifted 645 subs, that's even more amazing. Thank you, Frank. Maria Hall DK also gifted one, has gifted 34. Thank you. Irie Man gifted a sub, has gifted 281. These are like the idea of being an ambassador has been so sullied by the way that they're often those positions just given to donors or whatever, or people who came in seventh in the nominating contest. These are the true ambassadors. Thank you. Axiemom has been here for 31 months on Twitch, says it's likely the best day because it's John and JR. Winningest news analysis combo. Thank you. Well, we always try to juice the news. You know, we try to get the gears of justice and government moving on Monday. We really accelerate on Tuesday just to make sure that there's good news on Wednesday. So we will continue to do that. Chris Huggy says, we need to remove the statute of limitations on rape and sexual abuse. There is such a backlog of DNA tests. 100% right. Or what you could do theoretically is you could tie those two things together and say, so long as there is a backlog, there is no statute of limitations. If you can clear it out, if you put the resources and the person power into it, then we establish some sort of statute of limitations after that. But that might provide a little bit of incentive for states to actually take this seriously rather than just implying that that's trash that no one needs to think about. Brandy Lou 2 gifted a sub as well, has gifted 913. Brandy Lou, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.